Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hello.
What's going on?
It is 3 p.m. on Thursday, and that means it's time to meet your maker. I'm your host, Rachel Wharton. I am joined by John Taggart, who is not just my co-host, but the co-author of that incredible theme song. Thank you very much, John.
Hello.
Before we begin today, I just want to remind everyone that Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit, and not only can you come to our fundraiser party this Sunday, look for more information online, you should also consider becoming a member. It is just $60 for a basic filming membership, $25 if you're a student, and you get all kinds of sweet deals, which you can read about online, would include 10% off at Saxelby Cheesemongers, a buck off every pint at Jimmy's 43. He hosts Beer Sessions Radio. All other kinds of benefits, you should check it out. All right, now on with the show. All right, so if any of you have ever been to a food truck, a walk around tasting, any kind of outdoor market where there's food, you know that a lot of trash comes along with your deliciousness. Everything comes in a plate with a fork and a knife and a spoon, maybe a straw. And so my guests today are kind of hoping to reduce the carbon footprint of your food enjoyment. They are Emily Dublé and Jessica Holsey, the CEO and founder and president of Susty Party, that makes sustainable party supplies. What is your tagline? Party on.
Respect Earth and party on, yes. Baby.
I wanted.
We don't say baby all the time, but I just added.
Why
that.
Not? Like maybe with an exclamation point, comma baby exclamation point. I wanted to start by just asking you about your name, which to me sounds like a really awesome emo core band from the mid '90s. So
tell Susty me. Party.
Yes.
Awesome. That's the first time I've heard that one.
It's what it sounds like.
Love it. It's Susty is actually short for sustainable. It's kind of an abbreviation of, we originally named the company Sustainable Party, but
which doesn't sound like much of a party,
right? It was a little long and cumbersome, so for some practical purposes we shortened it, and we also just didn't want to greenwash and overuse the word sustainability and sustainable, which we feel is more of a journey and a continuum, and claiming to be the sustainable party supply and tableware company,
right,
was a bit too much for me, for my personal, you know, sustainability ethic, which has evolved over the years with the business. So Susty was shorter. It was more fun. Worked
like
better for us.
Ooh, so speaking of your own journey to the name, how did this company come to be? Like, what did you do before? What did you guys do before? How long has it been around? How'd you come to make straws and paper or plastic plates?
Yes. Well, we actually make alternatives to traditional paper and plastic plates. So none of our materials contain plastic, and the paper straws are FSC certified, which is a sustainable harvesting certification for the paper. But we started in 2009, and I came at it just from growing up with a love of nature and also a love of parties and entertaining. And I was actually throwing performance art shows in Brooklyn after Oberlin College. And I even did a global warming burlesque show in Williamsburg. So the
tell us about that.
The shows all had environmental themes. So it was kind of like I'm a natural performer. I love getting people together. And that's why I'm really interested in parties and events, because they have a really strong power to help us connect with each other and invigorate us in doing our daily work and following our mission and purpose. So I loved parties, but I'm also an environmentalist, grew up with a love of nature. My parents are underwater photographers, and I studied environmental studies at Oberlin. So this was really combining my passions, you know, for entertaining and for protecting the environment.
Were people dressed like a tree in the forest,
and then
like that's amazing.
Yeah, there were some inanimate objects. We had this is at Oberlin actually, and we had it started at Oberlin, moved back to Brooklyn where we all move, you know.
The burlesque party, not Susty.
Yeah, the burlesque. Sorry, my burlesque background. But yeah, we had we were kind of teachers. We had charts with concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere and temperature that were both correlated rising over time to show that climate. And then we were stripping while we were presenting the data to blinded me with science.
Right.
So that was
we should apply some of the principles you learned from that party to, like, I guess, you know, just like some general policy change. Maybe if we adapted burlesque to it all, it would, you know, like, you know, the farm bill might help. That's such a good idea.
Right. Well, that's the philosophy behind the company, is just making sustainability fun and, you know, bringing fun into sustainable products. And at the burlesque shows, I was working with a lot of bars. They all carried plastic cups, and parties and events actually generate the second largest amount of waste in the United States behind the construction industry, which is a crazy amount of waste that everyone always overlooks. But even if you see people's pictures on Facebook, people are cheersing with plastic cups all the time. So I kind of became obsessed, you know, can we still get together and have fun, but do it in a way that's good for the environment and doesn't generate all this waste? And then I ran into Jessica as I was starting the company.
Oh, it's interesting. Well, in the food world in particular, like, the interest in small batch, artisanal, handmade, sustainable, food it's actually more trash is created because you're buying something from a food truck or for someone on the street. Or so it's interesting, like, how this is, like, very much needed now more than ever. I mean, there's, like, probably a walk around tasting for farm to table food on, like, an hourly basis in New York City right now. And it's like if you ever look in a trash can at one of those events. But were you just, like, looking at a solo cup and then had this epiphany? Like, I mean, did you stumble on some other alternative product, or, like, how did you decide to do it?
Yeah, I had majored in environmental studies and had even founded a small cooperative business at Oberlin when I was there on green school supplies and recycled products co-op. So
writing on the back of the page
and repurpose, you know, binders and things like that. But so I just always had a fascination with greening events and finding innovative products. And I studied a bit of sustainable product design and innovation and systems design. And it was, you know, so coming at it from a philosophy of the abundance and wanting to support this amazing food revolution in Brooklyn and all these amazing events happening. But how can we make the whole system nicer on the earth than generating all this waste? So I didn't really have necessarily like an aha moment, like, oh, I'm going to specifically replace this plastic cup. But it was, you know, kind of approaching it as plastic is really bad material. Plastic pollution in the ocean is bad. What are the alternatives?
Yeah. So what were you doing when you were creating all this? Were you like a barista? Were you a bartender? Like,
very good question. How did you fund your business?
I was a sustainability manager at a countertop, or actually a durable surfaces manufacturer in the Brooklyn Navy Yard called Ice Stone. And they make amazing recycled glass and cement durable surfaces. So I was doing that, and I was organizing their events and trying to green all their events, plus throwing my own as a performer after hours. And I just, I had other friends starting their own businesses. I always wanted to start my own business. This was a really good combination of my passions. And so I started the company and just did crazy amount of research and even cold calling factories. And just
did that company, were you introduced to some of the materials that are used in the product line that you have?
That was a few years into it, because this was actually like in late 2007, early 2008 that I started doing research and just delving into this issue.
How old is the company again?
We officially launched with Jessica as the co-owner in 2009, because I had just done this kind of research in 2007 and 2008 and then reconnected with Jess in 2009. Do you want to talk a little about how we connected and how we really launched?
I want to hear about all, because you have multiple products that have made out of, like, all these crazy things, and that's something that I think would be really interesting to hear
about. What does your logo look like?
Oh, it's a balloon growing out of a flower pot.
Yes.
It's on the Heritage Radio Network website right now.
Oh, cool. Oh yes.
As a little sponsor, since we're involved in the party.
Yes. We would launch Sunday one into the sky, but that is not environmentally friendly. Unfortunately. Wait, because back to the balloon, you sell sustainable balloons? Is that like the goal, the holy grail, to find that?
That's the holy grail. Yeah. It's in the works.
What do you do? You do cups, forks, plates,
straws.
But they're all made out of different materials. Mm-hmm. I want to tell me about like what these things are made of and how you found these products. And there's probably all these, you know.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that. Well, do you want to? Should we finish just the founding story, or should we jump into the materials?
Yes. You were probably walking down the street with peanut butter, and she had chocolate, sustainable chocolate, and artisanal, handmade Brooklyn larder peanut butter.
Yeah, how'd you guys get together? Tell us the story.
Yeah, I was working in finance and on Wall Street, and
that's what every every great food business needs a co-founder who came from
Wall Street.
Yes, for anyone who wants to start their own. Yeah. Step number one.
Yes, I actually knew Emily through a high school friend, and we reconnected at a party around the time when I was looking to leave my Wall Street job and A, do something that was more of a startup, and B, do something that was values and mission driven.
There you go.
So she was, you know, telling me about this idea and, you know, all that she had done so far, and I was, you know, she has amazing energy, which you can hear over the radio. So I was like, sign me up, I want to do this.
Are you, who's more of a foodie, you or her?
Probably Emily, I would say. We both like a lot of food. We like to go to Organic Planet. Where's our spot? There's one right around the corner from here.
Okay. That's newish, isn't it? The one around the corner from Roberta's, next to the falafel and in between Swallow or something like that.
Exactly.
So when you were getting ready to leave Wall Street, what did you have any idea of what kind of project you wanted to go do?
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons why I wanted to leave, what I guess my aha moment was when. I used to do private equity, and we invested in companies, and we invested in funds who invested in companies. So a lot of what I did was looking at companies and giving them money.
So you knew what made for a company that would probably grow and be successful.
Yes. And also, it's really funny because Emily came from the sustainability background and knew all about this world of, you know, socially conscious businesses, but I had no idea. You know, I studied economics in college, went straight to Wall Street.
Yeah. At Harvard, and played b-ball for Lynn Sanity.
Right, exactly. Yes. I was pre-Lynn. But,
That's funny.
You know, it took 2 years of being, you know, in the workforce for me to even be introduced to the concept of, you know, a triple bottom line business, you know.
Oh, which is a term that I actually really just heard or realized was an actual term very recently. You want to explain it?
Sure. Triple bottom line is a company that has three bottom lines. So financial profits, and then also social benefits and environmental benefits. So it's a company that those three things are very important to the success of the company, not just strictly financial returns.
And we actually wrote it into our operating agreement to value our environmental and social impact just as strong as our financial impact. It's a legal obligation of our business, which means we are a benefit corporation or a certified B Corp, which is a new business structure.
That's really fascinating. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's because in the past, corporations have been obligated to maximize profit at all costs and could actually be sued if they decide to do something that's maybe a little better for the environment but hurts their profit.
Sued by
shareholders. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, we don't have any shareholders yet, but it's just a way to support this new structure. And as we grow, we will have, we'll have other partners eventually.
Yeah. So what are you saying? Like, you're going to keep doing this, you think?
Yeah. We're growing, baby. We're growing.
And you might actually become public and have shareholders.
Well, even private, you can have.
Yeah. That's right.
Partners.
Just a quick question. One of your competitors, I guess, would be Dixie.
Do they have a sustainable line yet?
I think so. I think a lot of the companies are starting to be more aware of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like Solo Dixie, but we don't really see ourselves as them as our competitors.
Well, I mean, they're like dollar store party supply stuff. You know, that's what, you know, when people think of that, they think of, you know, going to the dollar store, but, you know, They don't go to Whole Foods, really. I mean, they do now, people, to buy forks and knives
everything.
And stuff. Everything.
Wait, we have to take a quick break. Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about the product line.
Yes.
I cannot wait. Meet your maker.
At Whole Foods Market, we believe in healthy snacking, eating our veggies, and supporting local. Check out Brad's Raw Chips, a local producer that created irresistible chips after their namesake's successful weight loss with a raw lifestyle. Their chips are gluten-free, nutrient-packed, and so good that you'll think you're indulging. For more information, visit bradsrawchips.com.
Welcome back to Meet Your Maker. We are talking to the lovely ladies of the Susty Party, who make sustainable party supplies.
Woo woo!
And now we get to talk about straws. When you left us, we were talking about Dixie and whether they were a competitor or not. So, what do you think?
Our philosophy is the more people making eco-friendly tableware, the better. So please, you know, everyone get in the game, because
makes it more competitive for you, makes it better for everybody.
It will lower the cost of some of the more innovative materials and just raise the awareness of people not to depend on creating so much waste from disposables. So I mean, we use a lot of different materials, and we have two sides of our business. We have an online store that we started first that curates a bunch of eco-friendly tableware brands. Right. So we might even sell other brands. So we don't make, you know, and then once we started finding the best eco-friendly party supplies that we thought were the most innovative materials, which are bagasse, which is a sugarcane fiber. It's like a substitute to paper. Mm. So some people might see them a lot as alternative coffee cups because it's heat safe.
Uh-huh. What does it look like? Where would I have maybe been drinking out of this cup before?
Hot, maybe like a hot chocolate at the farmer's market, or
are they like
kind
of woven-y? There's
like to-go containers. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's woven-y. They come in. There's also to-go containers, and they come in plates. Mm-hmm. So we found,
and they just break. What, they break down more easily?
They're certified. Well, ours are made. You know, there's different factories that make different brands, so we, you know, wanted to find one that was like reliably treats the workers fairly and also has certifications that ensure it breaks down in an industrial compost setting.
Right. So it's how the product begins and how it ends. Mm-hmm. It's everything in between.
Yeah. And it's from a renewable resource, which is sugarcane waste. So the gas is one material. A bioplastic or PLA resin is the alternative to plastic cups. It performs similar to plastic, except it melts at high temperatures. But so don't put boiling things in. But so we have different PLA cups that we carry.
PLA?
And it's also like a compostable made from plant resin.
Look at this. Iced coffee is a very popular thing anywhere in the world.
Oh, plastic cups.
Anywhere in the world. And let's say I go to a coffee shop here and get a iced coffee. How long would your cup last versus that cup I get there? Like, how long does it take?
Definitely for, the same amount well in use. So the bioplastic.
No, I'm not talking about in use. I'm talking about after. You throw it in the trash. How long does their
after.
Cup?
I mean,
their
well,
cup
every lasts, piece of you know. Plastic yeah. that was made still exists today. Mm-hmm. Every piece of plastic ever made.
Petroleum based.
Even right. if I melted it. To make fireworks when I was 12. I guess it's in the environment.
In some form. Yeah. And but the bioresin, it will biodegrade, and it depends at what rate, you know, whether it's in an industrial compost or disposed of in another way. So the timeline, you know, greatly varies, but
it performs, it breaks down the best if it's in like a commercial composting facility. Mm-hmm. And also going back to Emily's point that we want more players in the field, mm-hmm. especially with PLA, because it is highly, highly recyclable. So like regular plastic, if you recycle it, sometimes it breaks down, it gets downcycled, but PLA is very recyclable. So
you can melt it down and make it back into a cup mm-hmm, over and over again.
Over and over again. But that infrastructure isn't in place yet. But, you know, as the industry grows, hopefully.
Meaning New York State or even, we can't recycle that cup here yet.
Is there any statistics out there that say how much plastic was not recycled this year? From the first plastic cup ever made till now?
Like how much plastic is on the planet right now?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess there's all different kinds. Like I have, you know, plasticware that my grandma gave me, you know, for keeping stuff, which is one kind of plastic because it's used forever.
I'm talking about plastic that was thrown away.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Disposable plastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be like, you know.
Wait, say again. What does PLA mean again?
Yeah.
It stands for polylactic acid.
So it's that specific type of recyclable plastic.
Compostable.
Yeah. So it's compostable, yeah. So it'll break down into compost and, you know, turn into soil or...
Oh, like all
but so those are, you know, those are things we carry on our website. So mm-hmm. as we were finding alternative materials, we came across a new material. A very, very new material.
We used to have sound effects, which I would have made one go off right now.
And it is made by a crazy scientist, but who we also love dearly, of course.
Well, you know.
He's based in California. He was an engineer.
Yeah, an aerospace engineer.
What's his name?
Dr. Eli Hilu.
Yes, and he created this material that is made from tapioca starch and grass fiber and natural pigment, and it's completely non-toxic, almost to the point that there may in the works be some edible versions.
You could eat if you're a cow.
So he created the flux capacitor of plastic. Right.
It's super durable. I mean, it can be an alternative to paper and plastic, but it is microwave safe, freezer safe, oven safe because it's a baked material.
Wow.
And that is what we wanted to launch our own line of party plates and bowls out of.
Is this the stuff that's available on your wholesale site?
Mm-hmm. It's available on sustyparty.com.
Okay.
And it's also in Whole Foods markets.
Yeah,
in
I was
going to
ask you, where can anybody buy your product? Can they just Whole Foods or like where can they go? Like,
yeah, you can go to Whole Foods right now, and you can also go on our website, sustyparty.com, and we're growing really fast, so hopefully we'll be in.
Because it's not just regular people who use it. It's like you know, like caterers, like people who have to use this stuff all the time, right?
Yeah, that would be for businesses. Mm-hmm. We would recommend Sustyware.
.com,
WARE, which is the wholesale site. So we do sell in bulk directly to businesses. But if you're, you know, throwing your next party and you just want, you know, 12 plates or bowls, like, you know, you need reinforcements. You can't deal with doing all the dishes or you're doing a picnic, you know, because we always also say use reusable stuff first if you can. I mean,
have you ever tried to sell to Google? Sounds like something they would be very interested in. She's been to their kitchen.
They might even use actual silverware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They probably do have, because everyone takes the stuff back up to their desk sometime to eat, too. That is a good target,
What's your largest wholesale client right now?
Ironman triathlons.
Yeah. Really? Wait, so what are they using it for? It's like
the cups. The race so cups. Cool. So, and we'll, ship like pallets.
Oh, man,
pallets
you
of trucks. Like truckloads of these cups to all their triathlon races.
Just to get like a viewer's like eye on your company. Like, could you do a festival like Googa Mooga?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay.
We could do, I mean, we can, you know, do truckload orders or shipping container orders. I mean, we have some other large wholesale custom products in the works that we would, you know, we're working with them to.
Make
the product directly.
Was some of your products at Googa Mooga? They should be.
I don't think so.
They're doing it again next year. So, and then the New York City Marathon.
Food festivals, you know, a call. This is a call to everyone out there. If you're organizing a festival or a concert
that has any, like, and if you have any pretense of being a green, sustainable, farm-to-table, green market-driven festival, like, this is the stuff you got
to
use.
It doesn't even have to be that.
If that is your goal, like, so many of these food festivals are all about sustainable from the agriculture production side, and that they should all be using these products to serve it.
Of course, like, you know, you go to Lancaster and they have these like state fairs and none of them are using any sustainable product. The food is amazing, but they're not, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're out there, we will hook you guys up.
Yeah.
Susty Ware, or just contact us through Susty Party. It doesn't matter because we'll get to you either way, but mention this radio interview and we'll give you a special discount. That's my sales pitch.
How long did it take for you to come up with that name? Like, do you have like a, you know, any other thing that you were thinking about?
Oh, yeah. What's the name of the plastic?
Yeah.
The PLA resin?
Or you actually now have your, there is a...
Oh, the Susty Party plates?
Yeah.
Oh, the biosphere material.
Yeah, biosphere.
Yeah, that's the name by the scientist. Yeah. He named it.
But it's right now, it's like you guys are the only ones putting it to use in an actual product?
No, there's a bunch of other products being made out of it, but we really wanted it to promote it as a party plate and bowl.
As opposed to like a nose cone for an airplane or something.
Right, there's that's different industrial uses. Though,
because it's like a composite. Uh-huh. He was testing lightweight but durable materials that he could use in airplanes.
How did you find him?
We were online just looking for really cool materials and came across it.
And yeah, or just... We've been talking and researching for years and years, and you know, making connections, and someone will point us this way, someone will point us that way. So there's like a lot of industry.
They probably come to you too, because like, I just made this thing and it's perfect for your blah de blah.
Sometimes we have a woman who is contacting us about an edible cup. So that's one of the things.
So you drink out of it and then eat it.
Yeah, I haven't seen them yet.
Could you flavor them? This is like total flavored. Molecular gastronomist would love
they're
this
flavored.
Thing.
So that's cool. I'll get to try those out in about a week. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
we've eaten some tableware from a few different sources in the past.
We had some chocolate flavored cups once. So
it's not really on the market yet because there's a lot of difficulties and red tape of licensing.
It's a food
course.
Product, right? So then you have to. It's like has to go through all the rules
exactly.
for that.
Exactly.
But give me some ice cream in a chocolate cup.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
So if I was going to have a party tomorrow, like a picnic at Prospect Park, a park here in Brooklyn. So
20-30
okay,
people.
So could I get the tablecloth, which would have been like a plastic shower curtain, those type.
Ugh.
Can I get forks and knives? Like, what can I not, what can I not get?
Well, we don't carry tablecloths yet, although that's a good idea. So maybe we can
everyone
find some
gets
for
those
our
really
put on our
crappy
yeah, but tablecloths are usually, oh yeah, they get the plastic ones.
Yeah,
right.
Everybody does, they buy a picnic
yeah,
kit.
Yeah, nobody does the old school kits. Anymore, but they actually bring one, you know?
Yeah.
But you could go to Whole Foods and you could get our plates and bowls made from the tapioca starch and grass, and they come in blue and pink and green and a natural color. So they're a little more stylish than just some ugly tableware. And then we have matching colorful striped straws that are made from sustainably harvested paper. And all our stuff, our branded stuff, so our plates, bowls, and straws are made in the USA. Which is another differentiating factor from a lot of the stuff out there, especially the straws.
Do you have different size cups?
We are launching cups. We're launching a 10-ounce
10-ounce
paper cup.
Needs to be bigger for beer parties, right?
Well, we have those.
Online store, but we're launching like our own branded paper cup made in the USA. Line with the corn plastic the bioplastic resin, so it's fully certified compostable. It's sustainably harvested paper. It's made in the USA by a nonprofit that actually employs and trains visually impaired individuals
to make cups
or other. It's like a just factory and kind of green collar job training and employment center. So lots of different types.
Do you make any glass products?
Green collar jobs. Mm-hmm. Glass, we have not looked into yet, although I love glass as a material. Mm-hmm. So I definitely support glass. Back
it's
to
sand,
my recycled
right?
glass yeah. days at Ice Stone. I mean, it's totally non-toxic, and it can be recycled indefinitely. And it's sturdy.
It can break down naturally, right? if you smash it and then it like it's like, you know, like it'll break back down into sand,
right,
eventually.
It goes to sand. Right? Exactly. Yeah. It's non-toxic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when it breaks down, it turns into sand. And
or into pieces of glass or whatever.
It's still good. You know, there's still a problem with glass recycling. And a lot of it ends up in a landfill. A lot of it does, which is horrible. But I really like glass as a material, and I love how it's reusable.
It would be really amazing down the road to have one of those kinds of, like, to have a, you know, like a, where 30 chefs have gathered and there's a tasting and they were actually using glass, like it was not even thrown away at all. But then you'd have to get into like the recycling business, I mean, where you'd have to collect them or something.
Oh yeah, no, they could just keep yeah. them. I mean,
that's
yeah
a, but they were
jars.
Thin and lightweight, and yeah, that's really fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of solutions, you know, that can be applied to the party and food serving ware waste situation, and I think glass is an awesome one. Mm. And if we, you know, could start another product line, maybe we should look into glass, because I fully support that. And then our, you know, responsibly made disposable items are another, you know, piece of it. Like, if you can't carry the heaviness of reusables, mm-hmm. and you need disposables, you can turn to us.
All right, we are out of time, but think about all the things that we learned today. B Corp, triple bottom line, a bunch of materials names I've already forgotten, biosphere. But don't forget two things. One, that you can look at sustyparty.com, sustyware.com, and if you became a member of Heritage Radio Network or came to our party on Sunday, you get to eat off this stuff in the next 3 days. All right, this has been Meet Your Maker. Thank you guys for coming.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on
Heritage_radio. You can email us questions
at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.